Hello to members of Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. This is Pastor Tony. Concerns grow as the lockdown complicates our life. We listen to nonstop breaking news and wonder if this coronavirus will ever end. How can we live like this? How can we survive being cooped up? With so many questions, it's not long before anxiety starts to dig, tear, and rip into our hearts. The devil has the world where he wants, fearful, terrorized, and paralyzed. This is the devil's trademark, trying to separate us from God. Let me share some reflective words for your meditation. In the hands of a loving God. This is God's universe. He owns the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat. God knows every solution to our predicament today. God speaks in Romans 8 to our situation from His Word. Let's listen to God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now this parcel of Scripture gives us the key to responding rightly, even when life is turned upside down. God's Word tells us who is in control when chaos of a sin-sick world erupts in your life. This text teaches us vital doctrine about God's impact in your life. Understand that God works all things in life to bring about His divine goodness He intended for you. God is the judge of your life and always will defend you against the evil forces of this world. And God gave His Son to us to show His generosity toward those who love Him is limitless. Now consider what this means. When you are progressively growing in the image of Christ and you actively are loving God, then you are able to receive the good things God predestined for you to have. Nothing defeats God's purpose for your life. It's set for all eternity. Jesus Christ is the personification of God's love. Jesus rides triumphantly into Jerusalem as king. Days later, Jesus is hanging on the cross to die in humiliating fashion to save us from sin. He arose in victory over death and now sits with the Father as our high priest. In other words, Christ is God's love in living color. With this in mind, Paul asks a pointed and relevant question for us to consider in times such as this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The answer is obvious. But the devil thinks he has an advantage since we are forced into social distancing because of the coronavirus. He salivates at the chance of picking the saints off one by one as worshiping in our church is in limbo. Understand, the devil bids his time while he hopes for your demise. The devil wants you isolated from other saints to instill spiritual turmoil. The devil is waiting for you to be crushed by the spread of this virus so you will be weak and distraught and spiritually comatose. But God's word overrules the devil's evil intent, telling us in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God tells us that we are conquerors in Christ. Christ defeated every enemy we could face in our lifetime, even death. So what chance does a coronavirus have against the love of God that builds a wedge around His saints? We are indeed, my friends, in the hands of a loving God. Today, we must seriously think about God's promise. Can pestilence separate us from the love of God? Is there anything, anyone, or any wicked force that Christ, our high priest, will not defend us as stout lovers of God? What is the truth about your love for God? Is it thriving, growing, invigorating, or is it on life support? I'm not asking if you believe in God. The devils believe in God. I'm asking, are you growing in your love for God? Do you strive to be Christ-like in your daily life? Let me discuss 3 points about being in the hands of a loving God. First, all things work out for divine good to those who love God. All the persecutions, trials, afflictions, and calamity that we encounter is subject to God. Minimally, these things will compel us to honestly seek God so that we can discern His divine goodness in spite of what happens. You see, God acts on the behalf of the believer to achieve His divine purpose, which is good, right, and perfect. But this promise only applies to those who love God. Let me ask you, do you revere and adore God? Is your daily life inspired by your love for God? But I need to make a clarification here. The Bible does not say everything that happens in your life is good. Instead, the Bible says to those who love God, all things result in divine goodness in accord to God's purpose. So what is God's purpose? To manifest His glory in you as an imitator of Christ. God calls all men through Christ, but not all have firmly answered. The truth is, God had to call us many times before He got through to us. When we do answer God's call, we are entering into a love union with Him through Christ. Then we can join Paul in testifying, as it is written, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." Secondly, nothing or no one stands against us when God has adopted us as His sons. God's love sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. As sons of God, we need only cry, "Abba, Father," whenever enemies and demonic forces try to afflict us. God's love is ever preserving us. But we must contend with 2 realities in this life. The first reality is that of unsaved sinners who live entirely in the flesh. These are dead men walking because they are controlled by sin and not by God's love. Condemned before God, these have no sense of God's love. Second reality involves those who trust Jesus. Saints were initially dead in sin before they answered God's call to salvation in Christ. As new creatures in Christ, the very love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. In other words, we are given the capacity to love. An immediate benefit of God's love is that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. So placing our trust in Christ brings about a divine reality for us. The Bible says, "We who have been made holy by Jesus now have the same Father He has." That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call us His brothers. God's love gives saints an ironclad identity in Christ. We are now real brethren to Christ. What belongs to Christ belongs to us. Indeed, we are in the hands of a loving God. Thirdly, no worldly or unseen force can block us from God's love. Being intimately related to God, no one can injure or destroy us without facing God. We need not fear anything that life hurls at us. God is mightier than any foe that dares to challenge His power, even a deadly virus. Logically, we know nothing separates us from God. But as burdens of life attack us, we often react in the flesh. Just knowing the facts of God's love will not bring needed spiritual change that will keep us strong. We must practice God's love daily. Will your love for God hold when life problems attack you? How secure are you in God's love when pain comes? How do you express God's love when others are victims of disease, injustice, or violence? Your love for God will equal your sense of security in God's love. God's love reveals discernible effects in our life. Chiefly, we are enabled to live for God under the worst situations life will bring. God's love changes our attitude about sin, gives us a genuine desire to live holy before God. God's love for the saints is so strong it overcomes any fears or threats of alienation from Christ. God's love strengthens our love we have for others. We are able to love others as Christ loves them, and we are even able to love those who refuse to love us right back. In conclusion, let us have courage to walk by faith and not by sight. The devil wants us to be spiritually exhausted in our struggles today. Don't dare think for a moment God will abandon us and leave us up for grabs in this terrible time. Now just steal away for some quiet time, away from the daily hustles of life, to listen for God's voice. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? God commands us not to fear. But why? Because those who love God, those being conformed to the image of Christ, are in the hands of a loving God. God bless you all.